Hey, Broadway people, I'm back. And we're here discussing the movie A Chorus Line this time, so don't go too far.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Broadway Breakdown.
One singular sensation.
I love this song. I love the little, like, cat thing she does in this. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Broadway Breakdown. This is our Chorus Line film discussion. Last week I was not here, but Jackie took the lead and did a wonderful job with that. Of course, with James Lott Jr., who's always a great co-host with us. Just to get into this a little bit, we're going to start off with, of course, our hosting names. I was about to say news, almost forgot it. I am BFIPS14 on Twitter and Instagram, BFIPS1214 on Snapchat. And Jackie, where can they find you?
I'm 123 Jackie B on all platforms except for Snapchat. I'm Jackie B123.
And like I said, we are now going to start with our news that's always brought to us by BroadwayWorld.com and Robert Diamond, which we always thank him so much for giving us this wonderful news. We're going to start off with Laura Michelle Kelly and Jose Lana will lead the King and I National Tour, which is going on tour, I believe, at the end of this year. I know it's going to be in San Francisco in December, and I think it's coming here in January to Los Angeles. Jose was in The King and I on Broadway and basically got begged to do the national tour.
I love that. You know it's a good quality actor when they're like, you have to do this. Please.
And then Laura was in Mary Poppins, and she was recently in Finding Neverland. So that should be a good show. And if you want more info on that for tickets and for which cities it's going to be in and at what times, you can go to thekingandietour.com.
And I think this is the first time it's toured in a while, or is that...
I'm not sure. I didn't actually look it up.
I don't
remember it touring at all, like, through my youth. I just remember the movie.
Right. I remember the movie. That's why, same thing. I remember the movie, and I'm like, I feel like it hasn't toured in a while. But, again, you know, tweet us. Let us know.
Yeah. If you guys know anything different, let us know. Come From Away lands its home on Broadway. It's going to begin performances on Broadway Saturday, February 18th at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater.
Is it in D.C.? It's in D.C.
It's
going right to
be
now,
not quite yet. Oh, no, you're right. It's in D.C. now from September 2nd to October 16th at the Ford's Theater. And then it's going to be in Toronto's Royal Alexandra Theater, November 15th through January 8th. And it's going to also have two special benefit concert performances in Gander, Newfoundland on October 29th.
This one's really interesting. It's about... When September 11th happened, the planes were not allowed to fly into the U.S., and so they had to be diverted elsewhere. So this is a story about a series of planes that landed in Newfoundland, and apparently they landed in this small town, and it's based on real stories that happen, which I find this one so interesting.
Well, especially for, like, us, like, growing up during that whole thing happening, because it was really, like, a weird thing, but I read that the freshmen going into high school this year are the first class that are going to be learning about 9/11 from a history perspective of a time when they were not born.
Wow. That's really interesting.
This is the first, like, freshmen that were not alive when 9/11 happened.
Wow. It's so fascinating.
And if you want tickets for that, American Express card members are actually going to get a little bit of a little special favoring
here. As they do a lot of times. I feel there's always, like, some sort of an American Express bonus or pre-sale going on.
They can get their tickets on October 11th starting at 10 a.m. and the general public can get theirs October 24th, which is at 10 a.m. as well, which is, like, a very long... It's like a good, like, week or two that you
I
can
feel like,
tickets.
Are they sponsoring it? Is that why there's a pre-sale?
I'm guessing that, like, they have to.
Yeah.
If they're getting, especially that much of a pre-sale. Like, usually it's, like, a day in advance.
Right.
Like, this is, like, a week or two. And you can get those at telecharge.com. That's telecharge.com. So go check that out and let us know how that show is.
And if you go to the main website, you can check some of the music
on the website. And then Hello Dolly announced that it has its new cast, creative, and design teams which we know this one's going to be exciting because Bette Midler is starring in
it. So excited. Oh my gosh. So excited for Bette Midler to play.
To go back to, I'm just excited for back to Broadway. Like, she's been in Vegas for so long. And this is kind of,
that one for sure hasn't been touring in like a while. Years. Like, so I think it was something like 50 years when I was reading the article. I can't remember. It was a very prolonged period of time.
Well, it was, what's her face that did the original?
Carol Channing.
Carol Channing, thank you. I was, like, in my head, I was, like, trying. I was like, it's not Carol Burnett, but that's what kept coming in
my
head.
I have this friend who does this great impression of Carol Channing, and I kept, like, trying it at home to see if I could do it, and I'm like, it's just not good, but, you know, her voice is so distinctive.
She has a very distinct voice. And I'm going to go through this real fast. So they have 3-time Tony Award winner Santo Laquasto's scenic and costume design, 5-time Tony Award winner Natasha Katz for lighting design, Tony Award winner Scott Lear and for sound design, Andy Einhorn for music direction, Tony Award winner Larry Hockman for orchestration, Tony Award winner Don Pippin for vocal arrangements, Glenn Kelly for dance arrangements, and Telsey and Company cast for casting. So they seem to have a lot of
They're booking up their crew.
They are definitely looking for some Tony Awards in the future for this revival.
Yes.
And then Finding Neverland has announced their cast for their tour.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that. It comes to LA, you guys care like when it comes to LA, but
I don't
comes
know, there
to,
might be people that are in LA watching.
It comes to LA next year, and I'm so excited.
February or March it comes.
The tickets haven't gone on sale yet, but oh man, I can't wait till they do.
Well, I'm interested in watching it because I'm interested to see, because I love the movie.
I love the movie so much. So I want to see
like how they translated that.
And I feel
I feel like
because Peter Pan is a play and it's such a beloved and wonderful play, to make Finding Neverland into a play, it's like a no-brainer.
I mean, half of it is just creating the play in his mind.
Right. So I'm all excited for like what kind of beautiful, magical, wonderful special effects that they're going to have.
It's going to start touring this fall. Obviously not coming here until, like we said, next spring, winter, spring. But it's having Kevin Kern, Christine Dreyer, Tom Hewitt, Joanna Gloschuk, Jordan Cole, Finn Faulkner, Ben Krieger, Jacob Morrill, Gregory Treckel, Mitchell Ray, and I'm sorry if I butchered any of those names. And it begins performances in Buffalo, New York on October 7th. So, soon.
I know. I'm so excited for this. I've seen Peter Pan like 8 billion times as a kid. And I love, like you, I love the movie Finding Neverland. So seeing how they're going to translate
this. I don't know if you did too. I grew up with like the Mary Martin. Like we VHS recorded it. So I have all the old Campbell Soup and Oshkosh Bagosh commercials in it too, which is just the most amazing thing for me. And our last bit of news is that Leona Lewis is going to depart Cats on October 9th. She let us know via Twitter. She said, wow, I can't believe less than a month till I leave New York. Time has flown by. I'll miss my Cats
really
on Broadway family like crazy.
I feel like we just announced that she was going to be in Cats.
Well, I think she was only in it for a very limited time, though. It was only like 2 or 3 months, right?
I think so. Well, I mean, it has to be.
I don't know. There's been so much controversy over her with it, which I saw clips and I thought she was fine.
Oh, I thought she was fine, too. I mean, this is saying this about Cats, which is, like, one of my least favorite musicals, so, I mean, I don't know.
There's always, like, this little warm spot. Like, as a storyline, I don't love Cats, but, like, there's always a little warm spot because I grew up with that VHS recording of the show, and, like, we would dance and, like, sing the songs.
I love the music. I mean, the music for Cats is great.
And the costume and makeup is, like, amazing. That was the one thing, I think, with her that was weird to me was that they didn't make her look older.
Mm-hmm.
They kept her kind of very young looking because like every other cat, like almost to a creepy way, I was like, they look just like the cat that was in the VHS recording I had as a kid. it looks like the same actor.
Well, I do feel like when certain long running musicals have a formula, like Gypsy, people don't want to mess with it too much.
But also, when you had such like a really cool idea of how to create people looking like cats, like why mess
right,
with that?
Right. It's the same thing with Lion King. It's like you made all these like cool animal puppets. You're not going to suddenly like reinvent the wheel. You're going to give people what they come to see, which is singing and really cool animal puppets.
We're not just going to put you in a one piece Velcro suit.
No, thank you. Came here for the puppets.
And you can find all more information on all these stories by going to BroadwayWorld.com. And there's many, 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 many more articles there, too, as well. So if you're a Broadway fan, go check those out. All right. So this movie.
It's interesting because this movie, okay, so you and I are both not of the generation of this movie. So I feel like we have to state that out at the beginning, because when you're reading articles about the movie, the original play was in 1975. Mm-hmm. And so the people who loved that play came and saw the movie and they were kind of like, meh.
Well, yeah, because I mean, it's like 10 years later, because this was a 1985 movie, and I grew up with the movie. Because I remember just watching with my mom, which I didn't realize until I talked to her recently, but she hates the movie. Like, she loves the show. It's, like, one of her favorite shows, and she hates the movie, and I never knew that. I was like, what are you talking about? We watch it all the time. She goes, I've watched that movie twice in my entire life. And I was like, am I forgetting something? Like, I thought I watched that movie many times.
I thought we were having a good time, Mom. I thought we were having a good time. Apparently not. But, yeah, that's what I mean. It's, like, people... and I don't think this applies to James Lott Jr. because he loves everything. But people that are in your mom's generation who saw the play live are, like, seeing the movie and they're like, oh, my God, I hate this movie. And obviously I understand that if you saw a live play, whereas if they made certain changes to a movie, that might make you upset. And I've had feelings like that about plays and movies and whatnot, but it's interesting because I, like you, saw the movie first, so I was like, eh, I don't get the big deal. I understand the changes.
Well, it's like I saw the movie and I liked it. Like, it wasn't like my favorite of all time thing, but I remember liking it, and then I saw the theater production, and then I rewatched the movie this week, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, the thing with the theater production...
Now I get it.
Yeah, the thing with this, and as... And James and I were talking about how in Chicago the set is very similar to this, or it's like in Rent too, where it's very bare bones. And if you make a movie, you kind of like ruin alienating the people who love the fact that it's so theatrical, mm-hmm. and that it's something that sometimes you can only experience in theater. Like, I don't know how they're doing Wicked as a movie, and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, certain parts are, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how they're going to recapture that kind of magic. Like, the point where, and I don't feel like I'm giving anything away, but when she sings Defying Gravity, they make this effect where it looks like she's rising above everybody in the audience and basically, like, singing at the top of the stage.
Yeah, I feel like all they're going to do is make her fly away.
Right. And then it's like, that is not as impressive versus, like, when you're in an audience and someone has just, like, risen all above you and is, like, singing and is, like, high there. It's, like, a special effect that can only happen in a special moment that can only happen in the theater, which is one of the reasons
why... It's hard when you're such a theater fan, but when you go to the movies... I think it's important to try your best to be like, okay, this isn't the theater show. Like, let me see what they did with it. And then it's just a question of, did they do the changes they make in a good way or a bad way from the show? Because obviously if they do just the show, then it's like, okay, because it's not as spectacular on screen.
Right. And that, I mean, I can see whereas having seen the play and having seen this, where the play you get this kind of like, intimacy as if you're the person almost like auditioning these people, or you're there in the room with the auditioners. Mm-hmm. So there's this like level of personability that you can't really get as much on a film. I mean, yes, you can do close-ups, but when you're in that room, it gives you the sense of like being in the audition room, which is a feeling you can't recreate on a film. So I understand why they inserted they made the Cassie and
Michael Douglas.
The Cassie and Michael Douglas story. Why they made the Cassie and Zach story bigger. I just, you know what is interesting is my only complaint then is that if that's what you're going to do, you're going to make this story more about Cassie and Zach, then why didn't you start with that in the beginning? I don't understand why.
Well, I mean, it kind of does because it starts with her in the taxi, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Let's just delve into this whole Cassie Zach thing, because this was my issue with it. It's not my... You're trying to have these two storylines, because in this one, Cassie is arriving late. We don't know really why she's coming to the theater. She's not originally there, it seems, to audition. She just wants to talk to Zach.
Right.
Then she decides she's going to audition. She needs a job. She needs somewhere to live. Like, but it's like in the play, she's there from the beginning. So now it's like looking even more like special treatment when she gets chosen at the end, which I have a big issue with, because I'm like, if I was one of those girls that didn't make it, I'm like, this girl like didn't even, she wasn't even here. She was late, which in theater, if you're late, like.
And I don't know. I just, if you're going to do all these different like flashbacks, why wouldn't you start that at the beginning? Because that's your story.
But plus it's like this hard thing because it's like we're having the story of the audition and we're having the story of her and they're kind of taking over each other. So you don't get the full story on either.
Right. That, yeah. And I can see, like, the only other way to do that, I think, would make the other characters, like, kind of tie into Cassie somehow, and I don't know how you would do that.
And the
either.
Only person that does is, like, his assistant.
Right. Right.
And Terrence Mann.
I do like the addition of the assistant, though.
Yeah.
I liked the addition of the assistant, because I think it is weird. Again, I saw the movie first and then the play. So it was weird being like, well, okay, why are Zach and the choreographer doing everything when you, I think like most directors at that level would have an assistant. So it just seems strange to me.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the live chat roll right now. Someone just wrote scandal. You don't like cats dancing and singing in a dumpster.
But it's true.
That was Jazz 41173. And hello to everybody in the chat. We have also, Ryan Conway.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Thanks for joining us in the chat roll.
But
thanks for not watching football. joining us in the chat roll.
I know our Sundays for the next few weeks are going to really.
If you're like me and you don't give two craps about football, you can come here and talk about Broadway till your heart's content, and we will.
And
try
if you do love football, because you know.
No,
I'm not going to hate on you if you do.
No, if you do love football, I suppose you'll be watching us later on, which is fine. It's fine. But, like, if you're lonely, like, if I wasn't coming in here, I would be just sitting in my apartment probably watching theater shows on my television.
So, yeah, those were my main things with the Cassie storyline. I thought it distracted from what the original show was. And then it gave us this, like, we don't get either one. Like, it crosses over with the music, so we don't even get to hear half the songs.
I will say, though, that, and that girl has such a, like, Molly Ringwald, older Molly Ringwald kind of look, which is, like, distracting to me,
like
too.
Like, Bette Midler meets Molly Ringwald.
Yes, yes. But at the same time, so, I don't know, because I'm so familiar with, like, Terrence Mann and Michael Douglas, having her in there, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this girl, and it was more of an, I don't know how I feel about her just because I'm not familiar with her, but then I was like, I kind of like her, and I like her. I liked her chemistry. I thought she had, as an actress, had good chemistry with Michael Douglas.
Yeah, no, that was definitely good for her, and it was good for him because, like, I liked seeing him get so angry because before it's like anger from a microphone, and we're like not really seeing this man.
I thought you were gonna say anger from someone boiling your rabbit.
What?
You never saw what's that? Oh, fuck. Now, like the name of the movie, Fatal Attraction.
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, with Glenn Close and him, and she boils his rabbit. It's disturbing.
No, I just thought because
it has nothing to do with this.
But I think that was like, you know, it took away from the storyline, the original storyline. Plus, like I said, it gave her the special treatment that was obviously special treatment,
right?
And it also. It really bugged me that she kept interrupting the audition, like, because, like, you have this guy here trying to get to work on time. We have all these people being like, how long is this going to take? There's all this stuff is going on. We're telling our, like, deepest, darkest, like, life story secrets that he wants us to tell and trying to get raw and deep with him. And you're just walking in here and keep interrupting and being like, I'm going to audition now. Hey,
and I understand that, like, in the theater, you know, when you know somebody in any sort of arts, really, like, you know somebody, you like their work, you want to collaborate with them all the time. Special treatment, I will say special treatment in the way of, you know, I don't always think that these people, like, suck at what they do and then they're just given special treatment. I think they've pointed out and demonstrated that she's talented, but it's just like, her talent is put above others because of their past relationship. And I do think that happens in real life. So I felt like on a certain level, you know, I'm annoyed as an audience member where you're like, wow, she's getting so much more special treatment and more.
My main thing was just that she showed up late because I'm just coming from a theater background. If you're late, like,
oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I've been in auditions where someone has showed up late to the callback and they're like, you have to leave.
Yeah, you're not allowed to audition.
You're not allowed to audition because part of this is a job. These people want it badly enough, they're going to show up on time.
And another big change that they made was the music. They definitely, like, while they kept the songs, like, for the majority of the part, like, they changed the instrumentals behind them, which gave it, like, this kind of weird feel to me. And I have some, I'm going to take my favorite one because I wasn't here last week and I get to do that.
Go ahead.
So I have some examples of that. So if we could play, like, to the engineer in the booth, our first example, this one's the theater show. Section of Dance 10 Looks 3.
And I'm still on unemployment, dancing for my own enjoyment. That ain't it, kid. That ain't it, kid. Dance 10 Looks 3.
Love, like love to this
die. Left the theater and called the doctor for my appointment to buy tits and ass.
And I still have a problem with this actress having no tits. I was like, what is this?
Yeah,
why do they always cast people with no boobs?
But that could be an actual surgery for her. She could have been, like, completely flat.
That's
and you don't
true.
Want to be too big as a dancer because it does throw you off. Like, and I don't know if I just, this is a rumor, but the girl from Glee, Brittany, I heard got a boob job, and then she tried dancing and it was throwing her off too much, and she went back and had it taken off. Okay, so that was the original one, and then here's the movie version.
I think this is because the actress can't sing.
Dancing for my own enjoyment. That ain't
it,
kid.
That's another thing.
That ain't it, kid. Dance 10 looks 3 is like...
And of course, you know...
But you could just see that they slowed it down.
Yeah.
And they did that with most of the songs. They did this really slowed version. And I don't... Yeah, like, I don't know if it's because they were dealing with people that weren't singers.
Yeah. Because you can tell just by this that she doesn't have a very good range.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, and I don't hate it, but it does create, not so much for this song, I just use this song because I love this song, but for the opening, it creates, like, in the theater, like, you know, I hope I get it, I hope I get it. Like, this, like,
right.
quick pace thing creates, like, this anxiousness
right.
that all of those characters are feeling, and then when they take it to the movie, they're like, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many people does he... Like, it's, like, takes away that feeling of, like, that song is supposed to make you feel.
Right, right.
So I think that was a big hinder to that.
I do appreciate, though, that this actress did, like... She was beautiful, so you can imagine that, like, it's a character where you really could, like, looking at her, imagine, okay, like, she could have had plastic surgery to look this beautiful. But, and I think, you know, they did stay true as far as, like, the ensemble cast. They stayed true to their backstories and the general overarching plot line.
Yeah.
But
there was someone that, I guess the director of the movie went on a show, and he said that, I think I wrote it down to try to remember, that this was about kids breaking into show business. And then someone from the original cast got really upset.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what this is. And
right.
Like, if that's what you're trying to portray, then that's why, in their opinion, it failed.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's weird that he would say that, because even with, like, you had this whole backstory with Cassie, like, being this, like, young...
But I do get it. Like, Cassie and Sasha are kind of, like, the only two there that I felt were, like, really old.
Right. But then you still have that whole thing where people are hesitant to tell their age or they're lying about their age, and you still have the character who breaks his knee. What was his name? Paul San Marco?
Paul
San Marco. Well,
depends on if you're doing his Italian name or his...
Or his real name. I just like the name Paul San Marco. But you still have that character, like, injuring himself, which really, he would not have injured himself to that extent if he was young, you know. So I do think that it's weird. It's just weird to me that, like, they would say that, you know? It's like, you're clearly not portraying that across the board.
And then there was also this, like, kind of underlying thing where they kept interrupting the songs and with monologues and, like, going back and forth. Like, it really bugged me during the, I Can Do That, when all of a sudden we walked away from it, and I was like, what? And then he's back and he's swinging on a rope, and I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
There were some random moments. Like,
it's like, I want to hear the song.
I do still wish the ensemble had sang I Did It All for Love. You know, there were some changes that were made where you're like, I don't understand why you made this
change. Well, yeah, I mean, they replaced Hello 12, Hello 13, Hello Love, and Gimme the Ball with Surprise, Surprise, which I didn't, like, it's not that I hated the song. It's that I felt it took away the meaning, because Hello 12, Hello 13, Hello Love is all about, like, their, all their different experiences.
Yeah.
Of, like, kind of dealing with growing up, and whether that be sex or whether that be their body or whether that be whatever. And surprise, surprise, like, was very much just about sex.
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
So, they just portrayed it in different ways. And I don't know.
I mean, yeah. It is what it is.
I
didn't mind the Cassie's new song, though. Like,
I didn't
that
either.
I
didn't mind it either. That's Let Me Dance For You instead of Music in the Mirror. But they use the same instrumental as Music in the Mirror. So the only times it did bug me was when it got to the chorus and I kept wanting it to be that
Music in the Mirror,
because
yeah.
I heard that little ding
right.
that's supposed to be. Yeah. But, and then also that they did Cassie singing What I Did For Love, like you said, instead of.
I mean, I guess now, like,
which makes it a different meaning.
Yeah. Now, like, thinking about it, it's like, yeah, you're putting this back in the, like, you're trying to show that Cassie Zach love story, but it's like, then you completely alienate all the other characters that you, that you've included.
It's not like what they've all done for love, what their love of dance, like what they've done to do
right.
that. It's like what she did for her love of it to get and having to forsake her love for him.
And you could even have her singing with the rest of the ensemble and have everybody have a different meaning.
Yeah.
You know, you can still
you
do that.
You could have easily have done it. And then they...
And then it's also really awkward because, like, when those kinds of moments happen, you're like, well, like, what's everybody else doing? Because they've been singing around for a really long
period of time. And then they got rid of Sing, and the tap combination was eliminated.
I was mad that they got rid of Sing. That's one of my favorite numbers because I can't sing.
It also was, like, funny that to me that they got rid of Sing because everything about her character, like, leads you to believe that she's going to do that because
right?
she already has, like,
yeah.
a really awkward talking voice
right.
as well.
They set you up for that and then they knock you down.
Sorry, Jazz is asking, did we watch the show Bunheads on the CW with Sutton Foster and Kelly Bishop?
I did not.
But if it's on, like, Hulu or Netflix, I'll check it out.
The only reason I did not, I think, is because when I was younger, they had that whole, like, center stage thing and, like, the, like, ballet became kind of like a re-phenomenon, I don't know, in pop culture. And then if you haven't seen Center Stage, it's showing, like, the dark, seedy underbelly of ballet. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle this again for, like, a show. If it is similar. If it's not, if it's happier, let me know. But there's a lot of, like, bulimia and sadness going on.
And Jess also brought up a thing, which was I was going to bring up, too, about could an unknown as Zach have helped and not, like, have it be Michael Douglas?
I think that's a good point.
Well, no, because it's, like, well, we all love singing. Like, I say all the time with movies, it's, like, a whole producer thing of, like, we need a name.
Right.
But it does, you know, hinder it when you have Terrence Mann, who's a great actor, you have Michael Douglas, who's a great actor, and then you have all these people that are professional dancers, and, like, while they can act, it's not, like, to that level, and that makes it seem like they're worse actors in my...
But I do think, not only that, but it's, like, knowing, like, Michael Douglas comes from, like, acting royalty family. So even if he, like, even if we're talking about a movie in 1985, he's still as big then as he was now, as,
well,
like,
I mean,
when
plus
he was born.
His father,
that's
like...
what I mean. Like, he comes from acting royalty. So it's, like, you already have this person who's, like, insanely well-known, and it's hard to have that person kind of... be representing some sort of, like, neutral side party when your focus is pulled towards him. I think that's a really good argument. And I also think it's weird that Terrence Mann doesn't sing. It's just so weird to me. I'm like, why wouldn't you use
him? And I told Jackie this earlier, and, like, go back and look at him in this, because it is kind of, like, it's obviously not because he would have had to be much, much older now, but... Terrence Mann does kind of resemble Hugh Laurie nowadays.
Yes, he does.
Because my boyfriend was like, is that Hugh Laurie? And I was like, no, that's not Hugh Laurie. This is 1985.
It's 1985 Terrence Mann.
Hugh Laurie was too busy...
being British somewhere.
I don't know what he was doing yet. Because I was, like, going to say, like, was the Buttons movie?
I don't know. But I am pretty sure that Hugh Laurie came from stage work since
Most British people.
It's like throwing a dart at a huge wall, and like that's full of. I don't know. This is a terrible analogy. All I'm saying is that if someone is British, it's very like if some actor is British, it's very likely they came from stage.
Yeah.
They came from the theater.
So obviously, this is all bit discussion kind of led up to us talking basically about how the play was a success and this one failed as a film. Like it got mixed reviews. Like it did get nominated for Oscars. It did have some things that people liked, but overall.
And I do think that final dance number is like phenomenal.
Yeah.
That final dance number blows you away. I mean, whether it's on stage or on film, like I think it's impressive.
Well, I read that number of directors turned it down because they just didn't think that the show could translate into a movie.
You know, I completely respect that because it's like I feel that way about certain plays, and I'm still amazed that I love the movie Chicago because the play Chicago, you can see it kind of like you can see a chorus line and think, I have no idea how you're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and they managed to pull it off, and it's I think sometimes too a chorus line, a lot of the problems they had were those little scenes that they brought away from the stage. Maybe if there was a way to like tell Cassie's story
two different movies. We needed a movie about the audition process, or we needed a movie about Cassie and
Zach. Right. You have her backstage like making all these phone calls and stuff, and it kind of distracts
you. And you have him sitting there watching her dance, going into flashbacks of her doing that same dance.
I don't mind, you know what, I don't even mind the dance flashbacks because at least they're on stage. Like, I sort of felt like I was backstage at the Muppet Show, you know, like, in these side scenes where I was like, is Kermit going to come out and talk to her? Because, like, this is what this set looks like.
I don't know. I think there's just a multiple thing. And then there was also a mention that I saw of them saying that they didn't deal with the gay characters as much. They kind of shoved it aside. Like, they mentioned that they were gay, but they didn't go as into it as the play does.
I still do think that that Paul's character, I still do think that you get that same, like, maybe not so much with the other gay characters, mm-hmm. maybe they didn't do them justice, but I feel like they did him justice in the sense that you really do get this feeling, and this is the character who does drag and his parents find out, you really do get that sense of, like, overwhelming, like, sadness with him being, like, unable to, like, relate to his parents and unable to really be himself, and then struggling between, like, do I be more masculine?
Yeah.
And I also think that it was nice to see a director treat him like family after he gave that whole experience. So it was nice to see the director come down and kind of put his arm around him and say, hey, it's okay, calm down, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. And then, so this was, like I said, nominated for Oscars. It was nominated for Best Original Song for Surprise, Surprise, Best Film Editing, and Best Sound Mixing, which it didn't win any of them. I don't know if it really deserved to or not, like, because I don't know, like, I forget what I said it was up against those years.
But. Yeah, it's always, with the Oscars, it's always about what it's up against, because, you know, there can be some movies and you're up against something else, and boom.
I think I read that it lost Surprise, Surprise to something by a song Lionel Richie wrote for a movie. So there's
sense.
That.
That makes sense.
So, okay, well, let's just get into which do we prefer.
I prefer the stage show. And this is also because I'm so excited to see that people are taping live theater shows, because I honestly think there's nothing wrong with just taping the live theater show so someone can hopefully kind of experience it as it was meant to
be shown.
Yeah,
like they did with Mary Martin and Peter Pan.
Yeah, I mean, and that's too because we grew up doing that. Because
that's what the NBC musical used to be, rather than now they do it where they film it. It's live, but it's different sets, it's different areas.
Which I don't even mind that either. Like, I do like the idea of giving someone a more, like, I don't know, like, musical experience rather than, like, a feature film experience.
Because I do think... I just to actually just tape the show.
Yeah, I mean, I do love that because they did that with Into the Woods. They did that with, oh my gosh, the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I know that's probably, like, the worst movie anybody's ever seen, but I still love it. I have no problem with, like, taping theater because I think that...
And that's why I think, like, with them taping Newsies and them taping... Them starting to do that... is it Broadway HQ or something? I can't remember. Where they're taping plays and putting them up on there. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing because it's going to make people want to go to the theater. Whereas if you watch this movie and you fell in love with the movie, that they changed it a lot from the theater, and then you go to the theater, then you didn't know that maybe.
Right.
And you're going to have possibly a inferior or a bad time because you were expecting it to be something
there's
else.
Just some things that you can't replace, and I you know, I'm so glad that live theater is not dead, and I'm so glad there's aspects of live theater you can't replace, and the live show chorus line is one of those things that you just can't replace it.
You can't mimic it live into show. A movie. It doesn't replace.
Same thing with Rock of Ages. People who made that movie, it was terrible.
So that one could have been done well.
I don't know why that one went wrong.
We'll get into that when we cover that one.
And speaking of Newsies, we're talking about the movie
next week.
Love Newsies, one of my favorite movies, but the musical is so wonderful because it's so different from the movie, but in a way that brings a whole nother world of enrichment that can only happen in theater, which is this this cool dancing that's happening almost. Also, it feels like everywhere.
Also, Newsies is on tour right now. It was just here in Los Angeles. I don't know where it's going from here, but it just left here. So check it out and see if it's in your area. It was a really fun show to watch, and the lead guy was amazing. Also, I want to make an adjustment. James had said last week on the show, and I did hear it wrong. My mom had said to watch the chorus line from the orchestra. That was false. She said, do not watch it from the orchestra. Watch it from the balcony, because the mirror effect is you can't get from the orchestra.
Got it.
So I wanted to make sure I corrected that. Also, I need to call out the fact that I am wearing my leg warmers.
Love it. And with my jazz headband shoes.
Because working I got called out for not wearing headband and leg warmers, which I won't be doing for every
show.
She
can't do it for every show, guys.
But I did it for this show. So for Omar, that's for you.
Oh, and speaking of Omar, he left us this really nice comment on iTunes. You guys, if you leave us a comment, a positive comment, we'll read it on air. I'm not reading shitty comments on air. We know this.
Also, constructive criticism comments are welcome, not negative ones.
Yeah, but not like, your face looks like poop. I can't fix that, okay?
But if you like us, please subscribe to us. Go to iTunes, go to Google Play, go to SoundCloud, rate, subscribe. You can press the little like on YouTube right now below, that little thumbs up. And we love reading your comments here as well. Like, thank you to everyone
and
in the chat
roll. And
we
love the people who join the chat roll. It's fun to get comments in the chat roll and enhance our conversation.
Oh. It was Lionel Richie's for Say You, Say Me from White Nights, ironically starring dance legends. I'm not going to read the whole thing out because I can't read those names. I feel like I'm going to butcher them.
Oh.
But that's what won over. Surprise, surprise.
Thank you.
And so, yeah. I think that's about it.
That's it.
Where can they find you, Jackie?
123 Jackie B on all platforms. And on Snapchat, JackieB123.
And me at BFIPS14 and BFIPS1214 on Snapchat. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week for some Newsies.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.